Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be here with y'all tonight. And I wasn't expecting that, but that's okay. Those little churches I grew up in, preacher, them little feet-washing Baptist churches I grew up in my life, the preachers usually didn't know who was preaching until you got to church anyway. And so that's okay. I don't mind that at all. And I didn't realize we hadn't planned on going to church today, and I know that sounds horrible, but we did just drive up here today, and I didn't realize until I went through Maryville, I said, I've stayed at that hotel before. And that was at Ridgeview Baptist Church. And I told my kids, I said, y'all remember that church? Of course, my kids have been in a couple of hundreds of churches, you know, and I said, it's the one where they gave y'all that pocketbook and that wallet and loaded them down with dollar bills, you know. Of course, all the kids said, yes, we remember that one. And so I said, well, I said, I didn't even really bring no church clothes. I said, but I'm going to go over there. And I texted and messaged Mr. Carolyn and said, give me that address. And it was only 25 minutes from here. And some of the kids were already playing in the water. And Rachel said, well, I'll get dressed and go with you. And I said, well, we'll just sneak over there and just go to church. I like going to church. Yeah. Amen. It ain't no bother to me to go out to the house of God. Amen. And I appreciate y'all. And I appreciate this church being one of our supporting churches. Preacher just asked me to give an update and different things. We're going to be in Philippians chapter number 3 here in just a little bit. And of course, those of you that read our prayer letters and everything, of course, y'all know that, you know, the passing of my wife. We just went over 3 months now. And of course, today being Mother's Day. Oh boy. That hurts. As you can imagine. And it's the hardest thing that I've ever been through. And we were married 31 and a half years. We got 9 children. I still have 6 at home. So y'all pray for me. Amen. And my baby is 4. I got grandkids older than my youngest. And but the grace of God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I went to a church last Sunday, preacher, down at our first sending church that we had. And I didn't tell them I was coming. I was just going to sneak in and just not preach. And I was just going to sit and listen. Of course, when I got there, my friend, Brother Eric, said, well, brother, you got to preach since you're here. And but I told them down there, and I'll tell y'all that that there's things that I've learned in my life that can make for good preaching, preacher. But you really don't understand the depth of it until you're living out some of those things.
Yeah.
But it's then that you realize that God is helping you in a more real way than you ever thought possible. And He has helped our family. He really has. And I need the help. And I have, I'll just be honest with you. Can I just be open with you? I have, and I talked with the feller before church, I have gotten mad at God. Is that all right if I say that? And I've poured out my complaint. And I said, this ain't right. It hurts. And I've got upset. I've had to watch my kids cry. My little 4-year-old. And it makes me mad, preacher. And I'll crawl off somewhere with God. And I'll cry till sometimes I can't cry no more. But when I'm done, I always have to come back to one thing. Is that God, you had my heart a long time. And I'll still say, wherever and whatever. And I leaned over my wife before she passed, like that night, that evening, and she couldn't respond to me. But I leaned over and I said, honey, I said, I want you to know, it was real easy to say that right there, preacher. I said, I want you to know that I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on preaching. And I'm going to raise these kids for God. But I tell you, there have been times where I have said, I am done. Is that all right? I know none of y'all has ever been there. But I've been there. Recently, I have been there and I have said, I am done. And I cannot go on. And when I'm finished, the sweet Holy Ghost of God nudges my heart again and says, you still belong to me. We're still going to go on for God. We're still going to preach. Amen. We're still going to go. And preacher, I wish I could stand here and tell you that I know exactly where I'm headed to next. But I'll tell you, there's a big question mark when it comes to that. And that used to bother me. That used to bother me a little bit. But this I do know, that in His timing, He'll let me know. And you are looking at a preacher. And by the help and the grace of God, that if wherever God says go, I will pack up my bags and I will leave. Amen. And so I plan on. Amen. Keeping on, keeping on. And that's really where I want to kind of be tonight here in Philippians chapter number 3. I want to read a verse here that where Paul mentions something here. Of course, the theme of the book of Philippians is joy, and how this man of God is sitting in a prison cell, and he's writing to a church, and he is encouraging them to be encouraged in the Lord. He is telling them they have joy, and he says, rejoice evermore. And again, I tell you, to keep on rejoicing in the Lord while he is sitting in a prison cell. That don't even make good sense sometimes, does it? But here he says in this verse, I want you to notice in verse number 13, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Here's what I thought about when I read this verse and some things that I jotted down. Of course, preacher, when I was here during your missions revival, Brother Blue was, he was the man of God that you had preaching here, and I still get to hang out with him. As a matter of fact, when we go home Saturday morning, I'm leaving Saturday night with Brother Blue, and we're headed to Arkansas. So I get to drive the man of God around, and here's what I do. I pick his brain when I'm with him. I like to get around those older preachers and say, give me something from God. Give me something that'll help. Can I say young preacher out there? I guess compared to him, it is. Amen. But I say, preacher, give me something that'll help a young preacher. And I remember one time he told me, he said, Brother Earwood, you hang around the throne of God until the God of the throne starts hanging around you. That'll help you right there. Amen. And you hang around God. Amen. And He'll hang around you. And I say, glory to God. I want to hang around God. And I want Him hanging around me. Amen. But I like to get around these preachers and pick their brain and say, hey, give me something from God. Could you imagine, Brother Drake, could you imagine, man, it's good to see in the house of God, by the way. I was asking about that boy before church. I said, man, where is that young guy? I think his name is Trey. He said, no, it's Dre. I said, is he still in here? He said, man, he's still in here. I say, praise the Lord, amen. And so, could you imagine, though, if we had Paul the Apostle here tonight? Could you imagine, I mean, the man of God. Paul, give me something that'll help a young Christian, that'll help a young preacher. Paul, what words would you give me that would encourage me to go on for God, that would help me in trials and in troubles and in distresses? Man, can I give you Psalm chapter number 4 where David said, glory to God, in my distresses thou hast enlarged me. But what if we had Paul? Paul, what would you say? Here's what Paul would say. One thing I do. Did y'all catch that in that verse? The man of God says, one thing that I do. Here's what he says. First thing is, I forget those things which are behind me. Oh boy. You know there's some things that you're going to have to forget. Anybody ever messed up real bad like me? I'm telling you. And I probably shared some of my testimony when I was here the first time preacher during missions revival. Listen, y'all are looking at a wicked individual, BC. That's before Christ. Amen. You are looking at a wicked individual. When I thought, listen, I was a rebellious teenager and I had a profession, but there was no change in my life. And I tell you, I was rebellious. I got tired of people telling me what to do, so I joined the military. That didn't make a whole lot of sense right there, did it? I joined the military. I said, I'm tired of people telling me what to do. So I went over there and let them tell me what to do for 5 years. But for 5 years, I lived a wicked life. I wouldn't even go into detail. Y'all probably run me out of the building tonight. But suffice it to say that I was wicked. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even while we were dead in sins and in trespasses, still loved me in spite of myself. I'll tell you what I have to do, and what I had to learn is I had to forget those things. I had to, you know, there's only one thing that you can do to get over your past. Amen. To just go on and forget it. He says, forget those things which are behind you. Y'all are just like me. There are some things behind you, and I'm telling you, the devil is real good at pressing the rewind button. That's on a VHS, and these young boys ain't gonna know what in the world I'm talking about. But he'll rewind it and press play, and it'll go through our mind and remind us of how wicked we were and what we done, and the devil will tell you, you can't do nothing for God now because of what you used to be. That's why he's encouraging them. You forget those things which are behind, because if you don't, it will stop you and make you stagnant, and you'll not bear fruit. I'm telling you, when you get like that, you'll get complacent. You'll find a stopping place on God. Can I tell y'all, there ain't no stopping place. Amen. Only one thing you can do. You say, preacher, you don't know where I've been. I'm telling you, I know. I know how it is for those things to go through your mind. I know how that is. I know how it is to mess up on God. I know how it is since I've been saved, preacher, to mess up and do something stupid or not do something that I was supposed to do. Amen. Or grow complacent on God and get in my comfort zone and lose my fire and lose my zeal, my passion for God. And where the Bible reading just becomes routine, but there's nothing to it. Where church going just becomes a ritual and you just do it only because that's what you're supposed to do, but there's no joy, no passion, no fire anymore. I know what it's like to get complacent. And I tell you, many times it's because of what goes through our mind and we say, look at what I've done. I'm telling you, you don't have to get over that. He said, one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind me. But what about those failures? Listen to this. What about your past victories? Can I tell you, you're going to have to forget them too. Can I tell you, boy, sometimes, preacher, man, I rejoice. Did I share that story with y'all when I was here? Y'all remember that story about the Lutheran church? And that Lutheran church called me and asked me to come and preach. Preacher, you remember that? I was trying to fix my garage into a church. And that guy called me from that Lutheran church, said, man, would you come over and preach? I said, I'm a Baptist pastor. He said, man, we're desperate. We'll take anything we can get. I went over in that Lutheran church and preached on the broad way to hell in that place. I mean, preaching and spitting and sweating. Those folks' eyes got about that big around because they had never seen anything like it. But I look back at that and I say, praise the Lord. The second, you believe they asked me to come back and preach again? And the second time I went back to preach, I'm a preaching in that Lutheran church. I done got down in between the aisles. Ain't ever seen anything like that. I'm a preaching in a big way. And this woman raises her hand and I said, yes, ma'am. She said, can I come to the altar? Now, right in the middle of a Lutheran church, I said, you better believe it. And she come up, they didn't have an altar, they had this little step. She got an altar and people started to come to the altar in the middle of a Lutheran church. And I look back at that preacher, and I saw folks get saved, and I think about the victories and I say, praise God. But I got news for you, your purpose and my purpose does not exist in yesterday. God's got something for today. Amen. God's got something for now. God's got something for you. Amen. But many times though, see, I tell you, there's been enough goodies that God has done in my life that I could just stop and say, you know what? I think I'll just settle for that. Boy, that was good. And just be happy with the fact that God sent me all the way out to South Dakota. and planted a church and it's still there, I say praise the Lord, amen. Hey, and to think that, man, the Lord used me to do that. And then folks that, oh man, I'm thinking of a couple that I mean, that their lives was a wreck, and I couldn't get them to come to church. And I went on, I kept begging them to come to church. He wouldn't come to church. And they were just living together. And their lives was marked by sin, preacher. His granddaddy was one of my charter members. And they said, would you preach the funeral? I said, I preach at a funeral just like it. Church, say amen right there. I said, I preach at a funeral like I do at church, and they said, that's all right. That's why we're asking you. And so they had his funeral out in this big gymnasium. Must have been 350 people there. They got the Catholic school to come over and help set out the chairs. So the Catholic priest is sitting over there and got on his little uniform and everything, you know. And I'm telling you, I got to preach in a big way in that funeral and got down in front of that casket and I held up my Bible and I said, this Bible don't know anything about purgatory. You're either going to heaven or hell. And I'm telling you, buddy, you would think that was the wrong place to say that. And it might have been, but except God said, say it. Amen. And that made that woman mad, that this young man he was living with made her mad. She grew up on an Indian reservation, grew up in a Catholic school. She went to Mass every day of her life. She had her a Bible. Her testimony is, and it's on YouTube if you want to look it up. Her testimony was, she going to get a Bible and come over at my house and prove me wrong. She had a problem. She couldn't find the purgatory in there. Amen. So they started coming to church every now and then, preacher. His testimony was, he said, well, I'll just go to church over there, because he felt guilty because his granddad, who kept trying to get him to come, he never would while he was alive. So he started going with his grandma. So one Sunday morning, man, I think about it, preacher, I'm standing up there. I'm preaching in a big way in my garage. I'm telling you, glory to God. God met with us in the middle of a garage, preacher. Amen. I couldn't fit no more than 40 people in that thing. But I'm telling you, glory, it was heaven on earth sometimes. Some of the best days of my life were spent right there in that little garage. But you know what? I can't live off of that. As good as it was sometimes, I can't live off that. God has taught me my purpose don't exist back then. He's got a purpose now. So one thing I do that Paul said, and one thing I want to learn, man, yeah, God's making that list in your life right now. But got to keep on making that list. Don't ever get to that list and say, boy, I think, man, this is just good right here. Lord, I'm just good right here. Oh, no. Because what he'll start doing is he'll start pulling you on a little further. Hey, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Listen, there are some things behind you, good and bad. Get over them. Just get over them. Not only are there some things behind you, there are some things before you. And here's what it said in Hebrews chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2. You remember those verses? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame. He said, let us lay aside now. Listen, I mean, there's some things that are before us. He says, you lay aside every sin and every weight which so doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before me. There are some things before you. Listen, you've got to know there's still some things before you, because if you get hung up in the past and say, man, I've done this and I messed up, you won't get your eyes on what God has before. Or if you're living in the past saying, man, God has been good. And you know what? The little church preacher that I grew up in, I'm telling you, when I was a teenager, listen, man, we would walk in that place and it was like the walls would breathe. I mean, God would be there and people would be shouting and the preachers would come in the side door and two or three of them would be preaching and people start getting in the altar, people testifying and shouting, and it would be glory, glory to God. Glory would come down in that place. You can go in there now though and it's dead. You know why? I believe this, preacher. More and more I saw as I got older, they couldn't get away from the past and what God had done in the past. And they failed to see what God has right now. God has something right now. And you know, that's kind of strange to say. See, one of the reasons I remembered this church, I like coming here, people testifying. I mean, that just makes me feel at home. I like it, preacher. Can I tell y'all? We in the Bible Belt, it's dying. Yes. I'm convinced, preacher, that Holy Ghost preaching is becoming a thing of the past. That won't completely die out. But it's rare. It's rare to go into a place where God feels comfortable enough to just take over a service and do whatever He wants to. We've got it all programmed out. We've got it all planned out. As a matter of fact, we can do everything in our church services without God. I'm not being mean. I'm not being ugly. I promise you I'm not. But what causes that is we're failing to see that God wants to do something now. And we get everything down to a routine. And it's like we have so planned the Holy Ghost out. I am so glad. The older I get, preacher, I am so glad of where God let me grow up. Can I say this? I know this will get me in trouble in a lot of places, but I'm so glad, man. When I was those little boys' age, I am so glad my grandmama didn't shove me off in another room somewhere and teach me about a junior Holy Ghost. I am so glad that she knew that I needed to see those preachers get on fire for God. She knew that I needed to see an old-time man of God get up and God get a hold of him and him even forget where he's at for a while and preach the Word of God. See, I needed that. By the way, so do y'all.
Yes, sir.
It's like we don't... You say that nowadays in a lot of churches, and it's like you're speaking in tongues or something. They don't know what you're talking about in Baptist churches. It's like we can go through our services, and if we ain't careful... God didn't show up. Nobody expected Him to show up. And it didn't bother us that He didn't. I don't want to... Man, don't get like that. You with me? Man, don't... Don't get like that. Can I just encourage you? And see, what's difficult sometimes, come into a church where it's good and man, y'all are shouting it out and people saying amen and everything, for me to get up and still tell you, God still has something now though. Hey, and can I tell you, and I'm not being critical, preacher, of this church at all. Hey, but listen, and thank God that you testified. Man, that sister got up and singing with God on her, by the way. And I like it that way, but you have not reached the pinnacle and neither have I. And I'm not claiming that I have, preacher. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I'm telling you, if you come in, man, I know one thing. When you come in and God shows up, amen, and the Holy Ghost fills the place, it will make you hungry for more. And when He don't show up, it'll make you miss and regret that He wasn't there. But can I tell you, if you come in here next Sunday, and I'm telling you glory comes down, and you see somebody get saved, I say praise the Lord, but that's not the pinnacle. And you've not arrived, and there's still something else God I have for you. See, there's still something now. He says things behind you and things before you. What does God have before you right now? What does God have before you? Now listen, stipulation that, lay aside the sin. Is everybody all right? And the weights. What does that mean? Well, I like to run. Matter of fact, one guy was asking me after service or before service, he says, are you still running? I said, yeah, man, I went 4 miles this morning. I like it. But you know what I have learned? I don't want any extra weight while I'm trying to run. Now, some guys do. And they'll take those ankle weights, you know, and put them on their ankles or their arms or wear a weighted vest and all that. That ain't me. I figure my weight's enough to carry down the road, okay? But what is a weight? A weight may not necessarily be what you say that is a sin, but it is something that God will put His hand on in your life and say, you need to get rid of this. And here's what we'll do, because here's what I did. I grew up, now listen, preacher, y'all don't hold this against me, okay?
Those little churches I grew up in, I mean, man, we just have meeting. They didn't preach no standards, no kind of convictions, this, that, and other. And a lot of times what we was doing right before church, I know it sounds hard, we're smoking cigarettes. Yeah. And I went to a missions revival. You know why I went to a missions revival? Just to see a preacher that I hadn't seen in 10 years. Had no idea what a missionary was. I had never been much out of the state of Georgia other than when I was in the service. I didn't know that there were people who went other places and preached the gospel. I thought everybody had a church like I did growing up. I did, preacher. I didn't know there was an argument over what Bible to use until I was grown. I thought the King James Bible was everybody had one. Amen. They don't. So I went there, and he preached on missions. And I got an altar that night, and here's what I said. I said, God, I don't even know what a missionary is. But if that's what you want to do with me, that's what I want to do. I went home that night. I went by myself. Now, I mean, we were still in that little church. I was still, y'all don't hold it against me now, I was still smoking cigarettes. I still listened to any kind of music that I wanted to listen to. All I knew, though, that God spoke to my heart in that meeting, though. I went home. Of course, my late wife, we grew up together in that same little church. We didn't know nothing about all this. I got home that night. I was fired up, man. I couldn't go to sleep. I'd sit on the edge of the bed, and I'd tap my foot. And she said, what is wrong with you? I said, honey, I got some news for you. She said, what? I said, I went to that meeting tonight. I said, I was just going to go see him. I said, but I surrendered our family to be a missionary family tonight. I thought she'd be thrilled. She said, what does that mean? I said, I don't know. I said, but I know God done something in my life. So here's what I didn't know then. Is there were some things in my life, sir, that he began pointing in out in my life that he was trying to get rid of. By the way, those cigarettes was one of them. Say amen right there. But I didn't know. Never heard nobody preach on that, but God started doing it. And here's what I did. Here's what we'll do when God points something out in our life. And listen, there's no Bible verse in there that says, thou shalt not smoke. Now, it does talk about your body being, and I'm not preaching against smoking now. That is not the point. But here's what we'll do is we'll say, well, how come somebody else gets to do it, God? Because he may not have before them what he's got in front of you. I didn't know he really was going to send me to the mission field. No idea. But there was things that he worked out of my life, but there were things that he worked in my life that I had no clue what he was doing at the time. And I would say, God, I mean, old so-and-so over here, I mean, God got to convicting me about those things, preacher. I wouldn't even witness with them anymore in my shirt pocket. I got spiritual. I wouldn't even carry them in church. God dealt with it. God dealt with my music. And God dealt with the way I dress. Yeah. I walked outside one day, man, on a Saturday. I was going to wash my truck. I walked outside, and I mean, this is years ago. I walked outside, and I knew God was dealing with my heart about some issues and things. You know, I walked outside. All I had on, preacher, was a pair of shorts. That's it. No shirt. And I know that sounds horrible, and I'm not trying to. But listen, I walked outside, and I'm telling you, God smote my heart. And he had called me to preach. I knew he'd call me to preach. He said, if you're going to be a man of God, you don't need to be out here half naked.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Amen.
I never heard preaching on that. I never had a preacher get up and say, hey, you need to quit that rock and roll music. I never, those preachers never got up, and I'm not blaming them, preacher, please don't misunderstand me, but I never heard preacher, God did it. And what I didn't realize is that God took me up on what I said. Hey, and he will you too, by the way. You ain't going to volunteer before God and say, hey, God, could you use me? And God say, nah, I ain't going to use you. He'll take you up on it. So God started working some things in my life, and he worked some things out of my life. Why? Because he had something before me. And I didn't know what it was. But I can tell you this. I wouldn't trade places with anybody. Is that all right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't trade places with anybody that you could think of. The richest person that you could think of. I wouldn't trade places. Hey. Even at this time in my life, Preacher, I wouldn't trade. There's some things behind me. There's some things before me. Listen, my last point. He said, I keep pressing towards something. Listen, ask God tonight. Ask God to help you go beyond you. So there's things behind, there's behind you. There's some things that are before you. I want to challenge you to live that life that's beyond you. So I didn't know what all that meant when I went home. And she said, what does all that mean? I said, I have no idea what that means. I said, we're probably going to end up in some jungle somewhere. That's what I thought. And I would have, with a machete, chopping through bamboo to get to a village to preach the gospel. And by the way, that don't sound bad to me. Is everybody all right? It shouldn't scare us if that's what God told us to do. But what I did do, and I didn't realize it then, but what I was saying when I got in that altar was, Lord, take me beyond myself. I remember, again, Brother Ballou, man, I went to a missions revival when we was in that first sending church. We had missions revival. And I remember coming into church, and I remember sitting down, and I remember God spoke to my heart and said, you better listen to the preaching tonight. Brother Ballou was preaching. Y'all don't tell him, but I love that guy. He's one of my dear friends. And he got up and he said, I'm going to preach on what is that in your hand. Y'all might have heard the message. He preached about Moses, how he had that rod. The Bible just says, God says, what's that in your hand? He says, a rod. That's all it is. He said, now you look at your life as, it's just a rod. And God says, throw it down before me. He said, you take your life like that rod. It's just a rod. It's just the rod. And you throw it down before God. He said, and it turned into something that he never dreamed it would have. I'm telling you, man, God got a hold of my heart right there. And I, for the first time, it dawned on me that, you mean God? You could turn my life into something that I couldn't even think was possible. I'm about to have a fit, man. Because that's exactly what he done. I had a good beginning, preacher, and I thank God for it, man. God let me grow up in that type of an environment. But he took me beyond that. Not that I'm better, but he took me beyond that and let me see missions. He took me beyond that. And I get to travel from here to Texas, to South Dakota, to North Carolina and preach. That may not seem like a big thing to y'all. Boy, it is to just a little country boy from Emerson, Georgia down there. He has let me live a life that I didn't even think. Listen, even where I'm at today, with the loss of my dear wife, the other day, now y'all don't think bad about me now. The other day, though, I plumb got excited. Because I know where God will close a door, he will open another. And how many of y'all could testify that when it seemed like it was your last chapter in your life, God was just beginning something else? And I nearly got excited over the thought. I said, God, I don't know and I don't understand all of this. But then it dawned on me. There's no telling what God's about to do. And when you've walked with him for a little bit and you begin to see that, it'll get you excited too. But I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll take faith to live beyond yourself. See, don't just get hung up and get in your comfort zone and say, I'm happy right here. You question and say, what would beyond myself look like? What would God do? Lord, what could you do? And you may not even get an idea, but here's a good starting point. I'd get in the altar and say, God, whatever. Wherever. Whenever. And allow God to take you beyond you. You say, well, I'm pretty spiritual now. And I'm not being critical. But you may say, I got it pretty good right now. So have I. I've had those times. I could say, I've got it pretty good right now. And then God just do something else. And open up another door. And take me somewhere else to serve Him that I never even dreamed possible. Preacher, I want to testify, and I'm nearly done. I want to testify tonight and say, I'm so glad God wouldn't leave me alone. And God would not just let me settle. And maybe you've got a hunger in your heart and in your life tonight. And would you say that? God, don't let me settle. God, don't let me get complacent. God, don't let me just stay right here. Take me beyond myself. Would you stand with me? Preacher, you come around. I want to try to be an encouragement to y'all tonight. I mean that. In some way, maybe the Lord would let me take maybe some of my testimony tonight and even where I'm at in my life and try to encourage you. I wouldn't want to be a discouragement. I'd want to be an encouragement. So if you need to do business with God tonight, there's things behind you. Get over it and go on. You say, preacher, I got past sin. Has the Lord forgiven you? If He's not, I'd come and ask the Lord to forgive me and go on and live for God and go on with God. Some things behind you, some things before you, and ask God to take you beyond yourself. And I believe and trust that He will. Preacher.
Holy Ghost of God, spoken to your heart. Would you be honest enough just to obey Him this evening?